Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into another edition of That Movie Show, sponsored by Showcase Cinemas. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe, and ooh, do we have an interesting talking day of radio for you.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one today.
So last week we did our 100th episode, which was Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. You can find it in the archives at thatmovieshow.net. I've also been obviously promoting on social media, you know, that episode. And apparently I've become best friends with Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead's Keith Coogan out of it.
Amazing.
And somehow Keith Coogan has worked himself onto this show 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, good for him. You know, keeping your name in the news. It's great.
I haven't thought about Keith Coogan since 1989, and now he's on my show twice.
I didn't think about Keith Coogan until we talked about him last week, and that was it.
So we ended the show last week by saying we were going to do Guns Akimbo, which we are going to get to probably in like 3 or 4 weeks, because it is a bonkers fun movie. But pressing matters have come to light over the last, few days, basically.
Yes.
This past week has been weird on a number of different levels.
The world's weird.
The world's a weird place right now.
I don't know if that Snickers hole is working, but I think we got to feed the earth more Snickers.
Look, in the words of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, this is a silly place. Let's not go there. So basically, this past Monday night into Tuesday,
primetime premiere.
I became completely enthralled with the fiasco that was Corey Feldman trying to release his documentary on basically. Let me preface this, because we are on radio. You know, the podcast, we can do whatever the hell we want. But this, I feel I need to set up a little bit. We are
sponsored by Showcase Cinemas, so we need to handle with kid gloves, because they're nice people, even though we are not.
But yeah, so I feel I have to kind of just say we are going to talk about a very sensitive issue for the next few minutes here on the show. Corey Feldman's documentary, which the title alone is jarring and shocking. It's called My Truth, The Rape of Two Coreys. It basically chronicles his story and him telling Corey Haim's story as it was told to him about their experiences with sexual abuse when they were children in Hollywood.
Right.
Sorry if that type of stuff makes you uncomfortable. We're going to have to get through it, because it's not the subject of the sexual abuse that interested me about this, because, Ed and I have talked about this at length off air about how we were going to handle this and what we were going to do and what we're going to say. And ultimately, Corey's message is in the right place.
Yeah, his heart and motivation for the movie is great. I think that it just misses the mark a little bit.
His execution was lacking, to say the least.
Because basically, as all these sorts of things like Harvey Weinstein going to prison and the Me Too movement, you know, Corey Feldman's point is, well, let's not forget about the children. Mm-hmm. Right now, look, my child acting experience is far different than Corey Feldman's, but
sure.
I do, like, I watch this movie and I hear him talk about certain things, and it's stuff that it's just like, oh yeah, it's weird that that's just a thing.
Well, and I think I definitely believe that most of our audience probably doesn't even know that you were a child actor. I mean, a legitimate child actor.
Yes. Yes, I was in a bunch of commercials. Like, again, my experience and Corey Feldman's experience, very different acting experiences.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, you know, in the Boston area for a long time, I was doing a lot of commercials. I was in movies. I was in all sorts of nonsense. And there are things at the end of this film that he talks about that it's like, yeah, it's weird that we just like hire these children because we need them. And then they're just kind of these like semi-forgotten pieces of meat that are here. Right. And it's like, you know, some sets are better than others, you know, some sets are better than others, but yeah, it kind of hit home a little bit more than I really intended, but it also made the first two thirds of the movie feel even more disjointed and out of place.
Right. I feel, and again, what made me so interested in this, because I had heard about him doing it years ago. I remember him saying
this movie was in production for 3 years.
Yeah. And I remember him saying he was going to do this. And I remember him giving the big tease that, you know, there's a name that I'm going to drop that's, you know, famous around the world, one of the biggest names in Hollywood and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, fine. And it's Corey Feldman. So you take it with a grain of salt, because if you followed any part of his career, you follow him on social media, you got to take his truth with a grain of salt as well. He's a flaky guy, to say the least. You know, there's plenty of stories about how eccentric and flaky he can be. Now, that doesn't discredit any of his story. I'm not talking about his story of his childhood. I'm just saying, when you see something like this happen, especially the way he was presenting it, it was a documentary that was going to basically stream online in a live pay-per-view event that was going to only happen once. And it was going to happen Monday night. I believe it was scheduled to start. There was a bunch of different time zone things. I think here on the East Coast, it was 9 or 11 p.m. it was set to start.
Okay.
So I was up at that hour. I wasn't watching it. I didn't pay $20 to Corey Feldman to watch his documentary. I wasn't going to do that. But I was interested. I was following Twitter. I was following Reddit. I was interested in how this... Good.
I was going to say, from a distribution model, that's actually kind of cool. I do kind of wish that more movies would do that sort of thing, because, like, let's just take Guns Akimbo, right? Guns Akimbo didn't get a wide theatrical release, but if you kind of made it in an appointment viewing, you know, that would be kind of cool.
It is. And I feel if it was anybody else doing it, it would have worked without a hitch. But it was the distribution of it and the experience of it. And that's why I was more interested in people's experience with this streaming once live experience. And he was also showing it at the same time in the Directors Guild Theater in Hollywood.
Right.
So it was supposed to be a, for lack of a better term, a global live pay-per-view event.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm watching and I'm refreshing Twitter, and all of a sudden you start seeing the complaints coming in, sites down, sites crashing. And I'm like, okay, now we've dealt with streaming services, whether it, you know, especially with live events, whether it's UFC or pro wrestling or anything, this happens. Sometimes servers get overloaded. Right. I mean, we've talked about it many times, and I wasn't ready to do a Showcase plug, but I'll do one anyway. Showcase subscribe. When Avengers tickets went on sale, every site that sells movie tickets crashed except for Showcase subscribe, which is why you need to go to showcasesubscribe.com and subscribe for your plan today. They start as low as $11.95 a month. You can get them for groups or individuals. You can gift them. It is a fantastic way to get movie tickets. You can get advanced tickets, pick your seats. It is wonderful. Ed and I subscribe, and it's not just because Showcase sponsors that movie show, it's because we actually believe in this product. We were both there the day the Avengers tickets went on sale. The internet basically crashed except for Showcase subscribe. Thank you, Showcase Cinemas, for presenting that movie show. And by also, I just want to let everybody know, we are streaming our show right now on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. So if you want to head over there, we're going to be talking about the two Corey's movie, License to Drive, a little bit later on, live on our Facebook page. But back to it.
Yeah.
So basically the what was appearing to be an overloaded system was crashing Corey's website, which, okay, I completely understand it.
Yeah, I don't think you were expecting this many people, and that's no. Okay.
And I've found various clips because there was media in attendance at his premiere at the Directors Guild, and he was making claims that he made over $1 million in ticket sales, which after we get through this story is disgusting, because the experience wasn't what people wanted.
No.
Because they didn't get to watch the movie. Right. And then what happened next is the reason I text Ed and said, we're moving Guns Akimbo. This is too interesting. If it was just a site crash, I probably would have sent you a text. That Corey documentary site crash. No big deal.
I didn't even know that the Corey documentary was happening until you told me that it crashed. And then I was like, well, now I got to check this out.
Now you got to check it out. So while the site is crashing, people are getting a black screen. Some people are getting like, you know, a login screen, or they're being asked to rebuy tickets. Shenanigans abound, but obviously technical problems. Then a screen pops up that everyone got, and it was basically the login screen without the login box. And instead of that, there was red type that said, we are being hacked. We are under attack. The movie is being hacked. We cannot show it. We're working to get the movie up. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. To Twitter I go. And someone posted a clip of Corey Feldman, because at this point, 15 minutes of the movie streamed.
Yeah.
Not only online, but also in the theater. It started an hour and a half late, by the way. So whatever time it was supposed to start, it started an hour and a half late. It streamed for 15 minutes. The site crashed. They got the hacker splash page up there. And also the movie. Yeah, exactly. It's what it was. Come on. It was a hacker splash page. It was already ready to go. And in the theater, the movie stopped at the same time.
That's the one that annoys me. But go on.
We'll get to our, you know, if you have any knowledge of movie theaters and how they work, this is ridiculous. So someone posted a video from the premiere. Corey Feldman jumps up, grabs a microphone, and there's basically a voice of God coming into the theater that is his technical team,
yeah,
saying, we're under attack.
Yeah.
We're under attack. We can see that we're being hacked. We're working diligently to get this screening back on its feet. And Corey just picks them up, and in the worst acting imaginable, wow, holy crap. This is serious. And then some good citizen from the audience goes, I know who's doing it. And he goes, you do? And of course gives them the microphone. It's the Wolf Pack. They're on to you. Now, I don't know enough about Corey's story, but I've done a little bit of research today. Apparently the Wolf Pack is not Kevin Nash's Red NWO
squad. That's the thing, is I didn't know any of this, and the only information I got was when I actually watched the documentary later. But he said Wolfpack, and that was the first thing I thought. I was like, black too and sweet. Red Sting?
Too sweet.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. Too sweet. Look,
they're under attack because tickets for WrestleMania aren't selling, but that's a different show.
That's a whole different show. That's probably next week's show, actually. But yeah, so this is happening live in a movie theater. Yeah. You can't hack a movie theater.
Yeah, that's the part that's the most annoying, because it's best practice. Like, you know, sometimes when you're in a theater or whatever, you know, all these high-tech theaters have the ability to have computers and hook up laptops and things like that. But
digital projection is the thing today.
Yeah.
Just go to any of the X Plus showings at your showcase cinemas.
And I bet you I could hook up my MacBook right to the X Plus projector, and I could stream Netflix in that X Plus theater. Look, Do I now want to do that? Yes. Showcase, please.
Bring backs. Let's do it.
Please. But basically, if I was to show up for a movie screening, the best practice would be to have the movie exported onto a DVD or a Blu-ray to play on the projector in the system, so that, you know, I don't have any weird glitches that has to deal with the internet when I own the movie.
Oh, and have backups.
Yeah.
Have a couple of thumb drives ready to go.
Yeah, like the fact that you just, like, again, the acting was poor.
It was terrible.
The acting was poor. And so it was like, wow, you're actually just trying to get people to care, because you made this documentary. And look, I don't know the validity, and I'm not going to speak to I'm not going to speak to whether it's real or not real or pick a side, but it's like, yeah, you missed the boat on the Charlie Sheen bomb, right?
Okay. Like, okay. So the documentary that was the big name. That was the big wahoo. But it was like the name that he was promoting for years. Like, this name is going to be a bombshell. It's the biggest name. It's a worldwide known name. And to his credit, Charlie Sheen is a worldwide movie star. He is a known name. But this story isn't new.
No. One, it's not new. Two, nobody really cares because nobody cares about Corey Feldman. Nobody cares about Corey Haim. And nobody cares about Charlie Sheen right now. Now, if you're talking about that this, like, at this documentary is released at the height of the 2.5 Men split and the Tiger Blood stuff, you know, then yeah, that's a bombshell and that's crazy. And this is a must-see documentary because they're going to talk about it. But yeah, we've heard this story before. You know,
that's the thing more than anything else. I mean, even if the timing was off, you didn't need Charlie Sheen at the height of his Charlie Sheening. But if this story had never come out before, maybe it would have garnered some interest. But the fact that this has been a very known common story about Charlie Sheen and Corey Haim on the set of Lucas, it's a known story. Like, he sued the National Enquirer. Charlie Sheen has sued the National Enquirer and won over that story. Corey Haim's mother has discredited that story. She says she doesn't believe it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and paint Charlie Sheen as an angel. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have time to talk about my Charlie Sheen relationship, so I'm not going to do that. But I had one. We were texting friends for a while. It was weird and cool at the same time. But he's no angel, okay? Yeah. And Corey Haim was no angel. Corey Feldman is no angel, despite he likes to hang out with angels. Weird side story on that. But do I believe it? I don't know. Sure, maybe. I don't know. Is it outside the realm of possibility that these guys in some 80s Coke-fueled bender messed around? Yeah, it's probably probable.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing is, probably happened. I don't know.
The thing with this movie is that the first third of it is all about who these two are.
Sure.
And it's very disjointed and weird because it's like you don't give me enough to care about either one of you. But you're explaining to me the situation and the story and everything behind it like I have never heard of you before.
Sure.
But and you're also telling it like there's like three different interviews with Corey Feldman in this from different time periods, you know, like because they filmed this over 3 years. And so it's like it doesn't really mesh well, and then it gets into the wolf pack stuff, which
too sweet.
You know, Conan for life.
I looked at it like this: the movie and the documentary. It obviously had a lot of flaws in it. One of them I felt was a cohesive direction and narrative.
Right.
It should have either been all in on this message and this cause that he's trying to get to, and I would have been completely fine with this because as a child of the 80s, I was a fan of the Corys, which is one of the reasons we're doing License to Drive right after this on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. If it was just Corey Feldman doing a tribute documentary to the life and career of Corey Haim, I would have been fine with it. I would have absolutely, because there's enough footage and stories and they lived interesting lives. They were child stars that grew up. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. It is what it is. It tells a story. It sells tickets. It puts butts in seats. But the way he did it, there was no fluid line with this movie. And then the distribution and, I mean, so the day after the supposed premiere, because he did end up playing it in the theater, the full movie.
Yeah.
So the people in attendance, meaning the media in attendance, would have their story the next day. There was a lot of upset people by the time he actually hit play again in the theater and the Wolfpack, you know, stopped hacking, It was probably like, I don't know, 3 hours after the original start time.
Yeah.
Which it's brutal. A 90 minute movie. And nobody online got to see it until the following day when he basically went to his Twitter and said, okay, we've fixed all the hacking and we're just going to show it on a loop for 24 hours. So if you spent your 20, basically somebody got to him and said, look, you're going to have to refund everybody's $20. You're claiming over $1 million in ticket sales and you haven't given anybody a movie yet.
Yeah,
so he put it on a loop. It's still actually going, I think, at this moment, on a 24 hour loop. And surprisingly, the Wolfpack hasn't hacked it yet. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. It comes off as one of the worst publicity stunts ever.
Yeah, because that's absolute garbage.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's just this movie to me, like in film school, you take a documentary class, right? Mm-hmm. So you learn how to make a documentary.
Sure.
And this feels like one of those movies that like one of my buddies made. Right. Because it was like,
and got like a C+.
Right. Like, I feel like I got, like, I have this important message that I want to get across, but really my message, like, you know, this had to be a 90 minute movie to be a movie. And it's like, I really only have like a half hour of like interesting stuff. Yeah. Oh, well, if I like piggyback it into my friend that died, you know, that like kind of sparked the cause, I can make it 90 minutes. And that's kind of what ended up happening, because it's like the movie didn't get interesting to me until they brought in that other child star that was on either the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon.
He was a Disney Channel.
And so like that, like basically the thesis of this movie in this documentary is that child actors are potential prey for sex criminals, right? That's what
let's be honest, it is a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem.
But we're not downplaying the cause behind the documentary.
Yeah,
it is a serious problem.
And to his credit, the actual like real life things that Corey is doing is helping, right?
Absolutely.
Like basically having it so that when these people grow up to be adults and be like, no, this was messed up and, you know, my person shouldn't be scot-free, you know, having the statute of limitations being lifted for this is, you know, it's a good cause.
And it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. But it's just like, yeah, you set up the fact that it was like child actors have been preyed on forever.
Yep.
And this was mine and Corey's story.
Right.
And this is what happened to us. Now, this is what happened to other people or other child actors that went through similar stuff, because it's like, you showed me three examples, you know, of why, of like, you know, this issue.
Yep.
And it's like, look, again, I don't want you to parade around 15 different stories, but yeah, it's a lot more powerful of a documentary if you're like, look, this is real. And it's like, this happened to a kid on a Disney Channel show.
Right.
This happened to a kid, you know, working in movies. And like, people always want to make fun of, you know, basically Corey and like Macaulay Culkin for growing up all screwed up and weird. And it's just like, hey, maybe we're all screwed up and weird because this is happening.
It's there are reasons for it. You know what I mean? And there are reasons for it. But yeah, so.
Yeah. By the time the movie got interesting, and it's like, you had your weird nonsense, like sub narrative about Corey Haim's mom being in charge of some sort of hacking conspiracy.
Oh, she's part of the Wolfpack, by the way.
She's the head of the Wolfpack. Apparently.
Apparently too sweet. Too
sweet. Macho madness.
Oh man. But before we move on, we got to thank Showcase Cinemas, of course, for sponsoring that movie show. Showcase Cinemas, go to showcasecinemas.com. Sign up for the Star Pass. It's their rewards program where every dollar you spend, you get points, and you can then use those points for concessions and for movie tickets. It is really cool and really easy. And of course, we highly recommend you sign up for Showcase Subscribe. ShowcaseSubscribe.com is the website. Plans start as low as $11.95. You can pick the plan that best suits you. This weekend, I grabbed tickets early. I'm going to see The Hunt.
Yes.
Came out Friday the 13th, and it looks so much like, it's one of those movies. I love the marketing campaign, and because the marketing campaign, I'm all in on the movie. First of all, it has a bunch of actors I really like. It has Betty Gilpin from Glow. It has Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Ethan Sulpey from, you know, Mallrats and a bunch of Kevin Smith stuff. My Name Is Earl. It looks really, really good. But also the fact that it was it's the most talked about movie of 2019 that nobody's seen.
Yes.
Everyone has had an opinion about this movie for a year, yet nobody's seen it.
Yeah, I know. It's
and
best.
Now they're releasing it in theaters with the fantastic marketing campaign of hashtag decide for yourself.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's funny that that's the movie, because this had the opposite effect. Hopefully The Hunt has the positive effect and this is a good movie that everybody's going to enjoy. But because it's like, yeah, this movie was like, I've been making it for 3 years and it's going to be so shocking with the names that I tell you that were sexually assaulting young, handsome Corey Corey's. You know what I mean? It's just
Corey
like,
Corey's.
Yeah, that's, I wanted to spice it up a little bit.
Sure.
But it's just like, and then this movie came out and it was bad.
It was bad. It was bad.
Not good.
You say came out, it barely came out. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, there was a lot more people upset that they just couldn't even watch this thing. Like, if he just showed it without the pomp and circumstances of a phony hacking scandal all the crap that went into it. It's like, first of all, my first gut is like, oh, well, he didn't believe in the movie.
Yeah.
So he had to create this conspiracy and this hacking plot. And I mean, and again, you got to play devil's advocate. You got to see both sides of the coin. If his website actually was hacked, it still doesn't explain the in-theater experience at the Directors Guild in Hollywood. He was playing it off as if that live screening was getting hacked live in the moment.
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute.
That's okay. I carried on. I was just saying, you know, how he was playing off the live screening getting hacked as well. So it's like it was poorly executed as a documentary. It was poorly released as a film. The whole marketing campaign of the hacking and all that stuff, and I wouldn't even call it marketing, just the fictitious scandal of it all. And then once, because his big wahoo was Charlie Sheen, and it's like, dude, we knew that story. I knew that story, and I'm not even looking for that story. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when he said Charlie Sheen, I'm like, yeah, of course it was. It wasn't like he was going to come out and say, oh, it was George Lucas or you know, Steven Spielberg. It's like, that would be a name to be like, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. But he's like, oh, Charlie Sheen. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. No kidding. But
oh,
yeah.
Man. But is that my truth?
That's my truth.
Okay, that's our thoughts on My Truth. So now we're going to move on because of this, I instinctively thought, all right, if we did Lucas, it'd be a bit too on the nose. So let's do License to Drive. It's the second movie that the two Coreys were together on. They met on, help me out, the vampire movie.
The Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, blanked on it for a second. And then they did this one. It's a funny relationship because I've been doing quite a bit of digging in the last couple of days on this. Research is important, pal. And while they were friends, they went out a lot. They hung out a lot when they were kids. They were also very fierce rivals. Like every role that Corey Haim got, because Corey Haim was always the lead Corey in this situation. Yeah.
Should have been. He's the better actor.
So every movie that they went out for, Corey Feldman was always either losing the role, such as in Lucas, or playing second fiddle to Corey Haim, such as in License to Drive, The Lost Boys, etc., etc. So we will be getting into that. We're going to deep dive into License to Drive. Eddie, we got about 1 minute left. First general thoughts, just to tease them, so get them over to the Facebook, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv.
I'm too old for this movie.
This was my childhood. I must have watched this 40 times when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. One of these movies that I'm looking at and being like, yeah, that wouldn't happen. And that's dumb. And that's stupid.
Too much logic. Thank you for joining us on the radio show. Thank you to Showcase Cinemas for presenting that movie show. Head on over to our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv, where we're going to discuss, deep dive, have a little bit of fun with License to Drive. Mike Wendt, Eddie McCabe. Follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe. Hashtag that movie show, where you can recommend movies for us to review, such as next week, since we're staying topical, pal. Yeah. What are we doing, Eddie?
We're going to do Escape from New York.
I love it. Snake Plissken like an MF, baby.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. The world's crumbling.
Meet the Andersons.
Yes.
They're all awaiting a big event.
For your information, this is exactly what I ate when I was pregnant with all of you.
But Les is excited about an even bigger event.
Less than 48 hours away, the people at the Department of Motor Vehicles are going to be handing you your license.
His reputation is riding on it.
Do you think there's any chance we could get it Saturday night?
Not a chance in hell, then.
The date of a lifetime depends on it.
Mercedes Lane.
But it doesn't look good.
You failed.
He failed?
Honey, what is wrong with you?
Something.
Is this the end for Les Anderson?
I thought that we had a date tonight.
An innocent girl. Harmless drive. What could possibly go wrong?
See, license to drive.
Hold on. You got to show them the rest.
Oh, okay. Les knew that he could regret it.
This is it.
I'm up.
He knew he might be sorry.
Aren't you drinking rather heavily? This Mercedes has a dead battery.
Okay, do your breathing.
But he did it anyway.
There's nothing to worry about. It's like a sign. A sign from the big Mr. Goodwrench in the sky.
Will Les get the car home in one piece? Will his father leave Les in one piece?
You are damn lucky your mother didn't go into labor.
No, Robert! I am in labor!
What?
License to Drive.
Does it have a happy ending?
That's Groovy Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic.
And welcome in or welcome back to that movie show. Now that we are free of the radio shackles, you can now curse again, Ed.
I already said potty mouth. Shit once. Who cares?
We are taking a look.
What are you going to do? Cancel the show? Too late.
Deep cuts.
Too late, motherfucker.
We are taking a look today at License to Drive. If you listen to the radio show, thank you, first of all. And thank you to Showcase for having us do that radio show. Only two left in that incarnation anyway, but please stay tuned. You know that we're doing License to Drive. We're going to do Guns Akimbo, but I completely got sucked in with the whole Corey Feldman documentary, Wolfpack Hacking Too Sweet Bro fiasco. And I'm like,
I think we hit all of them.
Scott Hall hit it. And so we pivoted and we're doing one of the two Corey's movies, License to Drive from 1988. Let me get the business out of the way. We got to get the business out of the way. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Let's see. It was released July 6th, 1988. That is a strong release date for this movie. Yeah. They were very popular in the 80s. Had a budget of $8 million, came back with $22.4 at the box office, made some money for 20th Century Fox. It was directed by Greg Beeman. Steeman Willett Beeman. Greg Beeman. Written by Neil Tolkien. It starred Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, Carol Kane, Richard Mauser, and introducing Heather Graham.
Oh, so fun. I would have rather watched her in The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Rough. So, let's see.
I didn't like this movie, Mike.
You didn't like this one, huh? This one for me is a 90-minute nostalgia trip. I grew up on this movie in the 80s. I was prime demo for this shit. But most people agree with you. It's got a tomato meter of 17%.
Yeah,
it's perfect. Rated 6.3 on IMDb out of 17,000 and change reviews. I don't know if that's high or low, but it's
out of 10, I think, right?
It's out of 10, so it's like middle of the road. Yeah, it's not 6.3 out of 5, motherfucker. So, all right. License to Drive. What'd you think? Let's jump into this problematic feature.
So the problem that I have is this movie didn't necessarily know what it wanted to be, right? Because it wasn't serious enough.
I think it wanted to be the two Coreys chasing chicks, man.
I didn't even necessarily want that. It was just like the premise from start to finish just is nonsensical. And just like it doesn't make any grounded sense.
I got a driver's license now. I'm going to go get my dick wet.
Yeah. It's like, look, here's the thing. I was a 16-year-old kid at some point. Right. And so like, yeah, at the beginning of the movie where it's like, man, this is fucking lame. Like my dude's mom is driving us to the party. Like that's lame as fuck. And it's just like, I've been there. We've all been there. Everyone's been there. And it's, and you're like trying super hard, but like he finally gets the,
does your mom hold your dick when you piss? Yeah. One of those tropes of movies like this that I've caught more times on cable than I have actually watched the movie. You forget how much cursing there was back in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, so Mercedes, played by Heather Graham,
mm-hmm.
She's got
a 40-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, she's got a 40-year-old boyfriend. She's either supposed to be 18 or 17 or 16.
I can't imagine she's legal.
Right. Like, I don't understand what's happening with that. And so, like, she basically has this 40-year-old at this high school party.
Who dresses like a vampire.
Yeah, because Lost World shared universe. Lost Boys. Yeah. Lost Boys shared universe. Yeah. You know, and so it's like, so she basically just, like, pisses off her boyfriend by being like, hey, you, nerd, I'm going to date you. I'm going to take you on a date on Saturday to piss off my boyfriend.
Well, you knew his age because when they started off and old man vampire picks her up at school in his Ferrari,
yeah.
Corey Feldman looks at Corey Haim. He's like, don't worry, pal. The only difference between you and him is he's got a driver's license. Yeah. Then we go to the party and he's literally being like, these are fucking children, because he's got an accent too. Of course he does.
He's Eastern European.
These are children. He keeps referring to everyone as children. It's like, all right, so this dude's like 40.
Yeah, he's an adult.
And he's not happy that he's at this high school party with literal children.
Yeah.
But he's okay dating and probably fucking a child.
Yes, because at most she's 18.
At most she's the legal one in this situation.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Right? Because she doesn't drive either.
Nope.
You know, so she's 16 too?
Possibly.
You know? So
I think they're in the same class.
Yeah. So that's weird.
Yep.
Right? And then, like, where I'm going to jump all over because
nerd.
Got a lot of going on here. They roll up to that movie theater premiere party and
I thought it was just a club.
I don't know. There was a marquee and it said the El Rey. So I don't know. Like, all I could think of was just like, I'd rather watch anything by Robert Rodriguez right now.
Even Spy Kids 3D.
Hell, maybe even Lava Girl and Shark Boy.
In 4D.
But so she wanders right into this party, and it is pretty funny because this child walks up behind her and he goes, I'm with her. And he's just like, you wouldn't be with her if you were her Siamese twin. And I was like,
now, that's, fuck off.
Now, that's pretty fucking funny. Yep. That's pretty, pretty funny.
Yep.
And so she like goes in to break up with her old boyfriend or like,
she sees him there with another side piece who, I mean, you broke up with him at the last party.
Yeah.
And you basically shamed him by saying you were going to go on Saturday night, go bang this child.
Yeah.
And Now he's with some side piece at a club.
It's more age appropriate.
Much, much more age appropriate. And they look very European-y together.
Yeah.
And you're just all pissed. You smack him in the mouth, steal someone's champagne.
Why is there a comically large bottle of champagne?
I mean, when you're in the club.
Yeah. Yes. It's Lil Jon.
You never been in the club, Ed?
Yeah. It's Lil Jon.
We popping bottles in the club.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, holy crap.
I don't know how to make anime gifts, but I want that as one.
Yeah. And so then they end up driving to Makeout Point.
Straight up. Yeah.
They just drive to Makeout Point where she downs the entire bottle of champagne.
With the quickness.
Yeah. And basically, she just puts herself out of commission for the evening.
Well, first she starts assaulting his car.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
She's like, oh, this is great. I'm going to jump on the hood with my heels. I don't care if he has a license, doesn't have a license. It's his mother's car. It's his father's car. It's his grandfather's car. It's his car. Get the fuck off the hood. You're scratching it.
So this is my biggest problem.
Fast forward quite a bit.
It all boils down to my biggest pet peeve in media, right? Television, books, movies, whatever. If the entire issue with the movie could be solved with a very simple conversation.
Right.
Right. If the entire conflict of the movie can be solved with a very, very simple conversation, the movie or TV show infuriates me.
Well, this was a movie that was based on a lie.
And it's just a very, very simple. It's a very simple, you know, hey, look, I didn't get my license.
Right.
You know what
I'm going to try again in 2 weeks.
Because
that's what they said. When he did have to tell his friends or his parents, he said it at some point.
Right.
Because ultimately, Corey Haim failed the driving test.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It starts with him and his twin sister going through driver's ed. They're about to take their test. His sister is great at it, and he's terrible at it. That's
where we also get some casual vulgarity from the scary old lady who's running the DMV, where she's just like, do not fuck with the registry of motor vehicles. I'm like, wow, you just got straight off of Broadway with that makeup, hun.
Yeah. Also,
Uncle Phil cameo coming in hot.
Yeah. Yeah. He was great. I liked him as a driving instructor, but nobody actually cares. Like, nobody at the DMV cares that much.
Also, and this has bothered me since I was a child. When I watched this movie as a kid, I had the same reaction I had today when I rewatched it. When the guy hands Corey, because he got all the way to having a driver's license in his hand, and the guy goes, oh, we need you for a second. And he sees Scary Woman approaching. Why not leave?
Yeah.
Why not walk the... I mean, granted, your license will be invalid, but... hands it back to her and she tears it up. It's like, I'm sticking in my pocket. Now, granted, all the adults in this movie are highly inappropriate with the children, so she probably would have just dug in there.
Right. Well, the worst part about that is just like, you already went through the system to say it was okay.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, here's the thing. I've been to the DMV because I'm an adult. You know what I mean? Nobody like the system messed up. It's like, look, here's the deal. It's your lucky day. Like we're going to pass you on the written because your twin sister passed. So, you know, congratulations. I mean,
man, you didn't grow up with 80s computers, man.
Yeah. But again,
they were fickle bitches.
Here's the thing. I don't care about the computer. Nobody at the RMV is putting in that effort. Right. Nobody. Right. Nobody.
Speaking of the inappropriateness of the adults in this, the sister's driving instructor, Mr. Puka Shells in Hawaiian shirt, literally, this is a 16-year-old girl getting her driver's license for the first time. She's going to sit and have a driving test. You're the instructor. She sits down and he just starts leering at her like she is a well-cooked piece of steak.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, you're going to pass this on my dick.
Yeah. Oh, God. Terrible.
It was gross on a rewatch.
It was gross. I was just like, oh.
Because especially not even the fact that he did that. The fact that they were playing it off as like, this is like sexy and romantic.
Yeah, right.
Like, they gave him the whimsical music. He was the pleasant instructor. He was the good instructor.
Yeah, he was
out of the two. Yes. He wanted to fuck this child, but he was the good one in the situation.
He was the nice instructor.
Right.
Yeah. You're 100%
right. Oh, the 80s.
And then, yeah. I need a director's cut of this movie because I need closure as to what happened with the sister, because she gets her license and then goes with a eco-terrorist or whatever. I'm pretty sure that actor is also the same actor from Escape from New York. That's like the boyfriend.
I hope so. The one in Escape from New York basically playing Chapo.
Yeah, that one.
Let me see. The actor's name is Michael Nichols. Yeah.
He's in something.
He's done 28 movies, or at least 28 acting credits. I'm not going to say movies. He was Jim Morrison in Wayne's World 2. There's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut.
No, he definitely wasn't. Up until this, he had only done an episode of The Equalizer in 86, Hamburger Hill in 87, and Super Carrier in 88. He was a small part in Death Becomes Her, did an episode of Baywatch, did an episode of Blossom, did the Jim Morrison thing. He definitely wasn't.
Maybe I saw Wayne's World 2 one too many times.
By the way, that Jim Morrison scene, fantastic.
Fantastic.
Weird naked Indian man.
Yeah, right. So she goes off to, you know, some sort of protest because she's all hippie and shit.
Right.
She gets arrested.
Straight up.
There's a straight up riot and she's arrested.
Yeah.
And it's like, so your daughter's a classified terrorist now.
Yep.
So,
well, come on. You know, it was the 80s. We see how hardcore the police work is at the DUI stop.
Yeah, right.
Not only do the police abandon their DUI checkpoint to go attend this riot.
Yeah.
They leave not only the underage child who has already admitted to not having a driver's license, but they also leave a string of drunks and the drunk driver they were literally just about to arrest unhandcuffed.
Also, they found a child in the trunk of that car with three boys. That's kidnapping.
And they said, this is my date.
Yes.
You know what that's code for. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. Date rape.
Yeah. It's like, that's the thing, is that his dad in this entire movie is so disproportionately mad about shit, where it's like, your son showed up with the car totaled. Yeah. Right? Not totaled, because that happens
pretty fucked up.
It was pretty bad, right?
It didn't drive forward by the end of the movie.
I don't know how much time happened between them getting to the hospital and like the grandfather showing up at the end of the movie, but the daughter should still be in jail.
I mean the kids were born, she was out of the hospital. It was at least a few days. That's plenty of time. It's the 80s, man. That's plenty of time to give a cash bail or, you know, get the higher up Chico's bail bonds to get her out. Yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was just nonsensical.
Plus, eco-terrorist, you know, whatever, man. It's a suburban white family. They're getting out of jail.
Yeah, sure. You're right. You are right.
Her boyfriend, Paulo, he's fucked.
Oh, yeah. He's done. He's
him and his fake soul patch is definitely done.
Yeah, you aren't seeing that guy anymore.
No. But the whole thing. So Corey Feldman is playing Dean, the best friend of Corey Haim's, Les Anderson. And his whole goal is Les has to get his driver's license so they can go to Archie's.
Yeah.
Because Archie's apparently is a place you can only drive to.
Yeah.
You need directions to get there, even though it's lit up like the goddamn Chrysler building. And everyone seems to know where it is because that place is hopping.
Yeah. When he first starts talking about it, I thought it was like a Coachella, like dance in the desert.
I think what it is, and my guess is, this was as close to those guys going to a strip club as a PG-13 movie would allow, because it's basically a Sonic that hired strippers and filled the place so that newly licensed 16-year-olds can pick up loose women.
Yeah, kinda.
Like, because instantly Corey Feldman had three girls ready to go on the three nerds.
Yeah,
he's like, I got one for each of us. Get the burgers, man. We're getting laid tonight. It's like, you right. just got here.
Yeah,
and also, you're the nerds in the movie.
Again, logistics. Where are you going? What are you doing? Like, so.
And you have a chick in the trunk.
Yeah, you got a chick in the trunk.
She's like, been sucking fumes for a night.
Yeah, what happens? What happens when this, like, these three were women that you met at this place? They drove here too, right?
I guess.
So you got a caravan? Did they? How did they get here?
Where are you going? Or are you all, I mean, granted, they got grandpa's caddy. There's plenty of room in there. That shit's like a waterbed, baby. They're just going to get all weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Logistics. Real annoying. It's just like, and again, your children.
You are children.
Your children.
And your unlicensed children at that. And also the fact that Corey Haim was the first one to get his license. That means the other two are at least 15.
Right. They're younger.
Maybe 14. Maybe I would say the kid with the camera was 14.
Yeah, because again, he says at the end when he drops off Dean, he's like, yeah, you can get your license in a few months. So it's like, yeah, you're 16.
Oh, I had the wrong guy when we were talking about the girlfriend's boyfriend. The sister's boyfriend. I had the wrong actor. This guy I do recognize, actually. Grant Helzov. I want to say he was in True Lies.
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah, he was in True Lies. He was in the climax scene. He was the cameraman, but he was on Arnold Schwarzenegger's team.
Yes.
Let me see if you were correct about Escape from New York. Family Ties, Happy Days, Legal Eagles. Wow, remember Legal Eagles? No, you don't. You weren't born yet. LA Law. Beverly Hills Bunts. That sounds terrible. Mama's Family. God, Mama's Family was a good one when you were sick as a kid. License to Drive.
I'm glad we're taking this trip down memory lane for you.
He did a episode of Dragnet, not the movie Dragnet. I don't think he was
in
Escape from New York, though. He was in Revenge of the Nerds 3, The Next Generation. That might be our Christmas watch along.
Sure.
All right. But True Lies is what we know him from. He was also in Argo, or he produced Argo or some shit. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, back to Archie's, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nonsense. And it's just like you end up getting into a fight with a biker car gang or something.
Oh, it's the same bullies from the party earlier. The ones that told him, does mom hold your dick when you piss? Literally the same gang. I mean, gang, I guess. It's just the same punks from high school. They're probably the seniors or whatever.
Yeah.
They're underdeveloped bullies. But anyway, they're on the run from the bullies. And this is where we must be running into the DUI point. It's around.
It has to be right here.
Because the drunk guy steals their car.
Yeah, basically, that's ultimately what matters. Is basically, while they're getting the girl out of the trunk of the car.
They're doing it also. I mean, they've had her in the trunk the whole time. The cop finds the girl. The cops fuck off. And what are they going to do with her? Put her back in the back seat? Well, she's still going to puke on you.
Yeah, right. You put her in the trunk because she was going to puke, which putting her in the trunk, lying down in a dark space, is going to make her puke more.
She's going to die.
this girl's going to die. You're going to have murdered a child.
You're
going to
have murdered Heather Graham. We never get Boogie Nights because of this.
Yeah. Or Austin Powers 2.
All right, stop it, Electric Boogaloo.
I who shagged me. Had Fat Bastard.
It did have Fat Bastard. So the third one.
Yeah, I don't like the third one.
I don't like the third one either. They actually just announced a fourth one. Roach.
Yeah, of course.
With Jay Roach directing. Anyway, drunk guy steals the car and literally starts tending bar on the dash of the fucking car.
Oh,
he's setting up nips. He's cutting limes with a knife. Where did this all come from?
Yeah, it's like it's
he's cracking beers. This guy's mixture is all over the place.
Yeah, he's also not like this isn't slapsticky enough for me, I guess, is part of my problem. If this was like Naked Gun, I would have been 100% on board. But like this dude's like seriously cutting up a lime. And it's just like, why? Why are you? This car's also indestructible. Look, I understand it's a grandfather's Cadillac. So that thing is built like a tank. But
Cadillac, yeah. Soon sponsor of that movie show.
But it's like, holy crap. How many things did you drive through,
yeah.
in, around, jump off? Like, holy crap.
So we also, this is the big action scene because we have to get Corey Haim from one car to the other because they take his car.
Yeah.
Everyone just leaves the keys in their ignition in Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, they got pulled out of the sobriety checkpoint and they just left the keys in, even though they were all about to be arrested.
Yeah. Pro tip, the cops take the keys immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But
yeah,
so they're chasing him in his Volkswagen Beetle that smells like piss and shit. And he's now vomiting and falling asleep in Grandpa's Cadillac.
Right.
And by the way, upon rewatch, that vomit sounding was gross.
Yeah,
it was really like chicken hitting the pot type gross.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Gnarly. But Corey Haim jumps from one car to the other. Action Jackson over here. And
pretty good.
The guy's passed out. So he jams the brakes. We all stop. We crash. Blah, 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 blah. Shenanigans. Yeah. And then they throw his keys away because friends don't let friends drive drunk. Message.
Yeah.
And they just let them take sexually assault and throw in the trunk young women.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Yes. 80s.
It's 80s. The 80s movie.
It's a different time. You didn't grow up in the 80s. You didn't understand it. People were a lot more cool about casual sexual assault.
Yeah. Harvey Weinstein had a blast.
What's the big deal, man? It was the 80s.
Yeah, we didn't quite Me Too yet.
We had cocaine for breakfast.
All right. All right.
Oh, fucking hell. Anyway.
Yeah, so the night winds down, and we somehow lose like 6 hours.
Yeah, they just yada yada the shit out of the rest of the night. Because they get everybody home.
Yeah.
They drop off Feldman and the other guy. They drop off Heather Graham, where he dramatically carries her to the door, even though she's fully awake and sobered up at this point.
Yes.
Talking about how she had a dream about being in a trunk. And it's just like, and he's like, oh, long story. I'll tell you later. It's like, no, dude, you don't ever want to tell her what happened.
Yeah, right. You don't want to actually
that up in a vault and then do a documentary 20 years later.
Yeah, you don't want to actually tell her what happened, you weirdo.
Weirdo. So Les is driving him his shitbox home. And it's at the same moment that his mother, Carol Kane, the great Carol Kane, has been
going. She's so great.
She's been pregnant the whole movie, and she's now going into labor.
Yeah.
And the father, Richard Mauser, who is everybody's 80s dad, is trying to get his wife to the hospital. And as they're pulling in, the timing couldn't have been better. Les pulls in, sees his mother and his dad, slides under the dash as if like, you know what? Just going to pretend not to be here.
Yeah.
Dad figures it out because, well, he sees the fucking car.
Yeah, I know. Like, again, the dad is just so disproportionately angry at shit. Like, his anger is all over the place, and it drives me up a wall. Like, the fact that, like, he catches his son having failed his driving test.
Right.
And so he's immediately
goes to feeding him booze.
Yeah. Right. And so he immediately just decides like, oh, you're grounded because you lied to me. And it's just like, I don't know. If you were a better parent, I think you would have realized that your son would have just like be super embarrassed and didn't want to tell you the truth, because when you tried to give him the keys to the car to go for a spin, he was like, no, thank you.
He legitimately did turn down the keys. Like they were trying to give him the car when he came home after failing his driving test. And he was doing the right thing up until a point. And
yeah,
peer pressure.
Right.
And dad got him drunk.
Yeah. And dad got him drunk, you know? And so, yeah, it was bananas. It was
Early in the movie when dad picks Les up at school, and he was talking to Heather Graham, and they pass her, she's walking home, and they pass her and pulls over, and Corey Haim's trying to get dad to let him just kind of drive by and pull up, because he's trying to pick her up, man. He's like, oh
yeah, he's trying real hard.
the dad's line, it's stuck with me since I was a kid. He's like, all right, let's give her a cruise. And I'm just like, ooh, it's a child, man. Let's see, take it easy.
Yeah.
Let's give her a cruise. Yeah. And then dad gets left with the huggies on the sidewalk.
I know. Oh, God.
Oh, that poor bastard. But yeah, so we're getting mom to the, we're getting mom in the car.
And the dad, car breaks down.
She won't let dad drive. Dad is like, fuck less, and tells the little brother to drive, father of the year.
Yeah.
Right. And but at the end of the day, Les jumps in the car, gets in the driver's seat. We get to the first stoplight, and it won't go forward. It'll only drive in reverse.
Which is so funny.
All right. So we're driving in reverse to the hospital. Les is obviously a professional stunt driver.
Professional.
Professional, because he is meticulous with his reverse driving. I can't even drive in reverse well. Oh, and no. We also pass...
We invented backup cameras for a reason.
Seriously. We pass Uncle Phil on the road, still in the DMV car. Apparently those are like take-home vehicles.
Yeah, I guess. You get a free car.
There you go. We pay off the spilt coffee. That happens. We get to the hospital, get mom in the hospital, and construction kills the car.
Probably the best case scenario for this family. He spent all night destroying this vehicle, and then at the last second, a construction company drops an I-beam on it.
Yep.
And it's like, look, I don't know if you know this, but yeah, maybe that car might have been totaled like getting there, but it's definitely totaled now, and it's the construction company's fault.
Plenty of witnesses.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So the insurance is going to look up the Kelley Blue Book of that value. It's like, look, here's the thing. That car was a, you know, 1970 Cadillac.
It's a classic.
You got to give me the money for it.
We tax the fucking money. Yeah. You know? You kill my car, I text the money.
But man, and it's just like, so you should have high five freeze framed, and that should have been the end of the movie.
Yeah, but no, we got to get the reveal of Grandpa. Apparently, this family is just shit at driving. Because Grandpa shows up. What I'm assuming is a couple days to at least a week later, because they're all out of the hospital. The babies are in her arms. She had twins again, so that's two sets of twins. Yeah, the daughter's
out on parole.
Yeah, daughter's got her ankle bracelet. We're all happy. And the grandfather shows up, and he has their BMW that he took on vacation, and it's just as fucked up as the Cadillac.
Yeah, what the hell happened to your car?
And yeah, I'd like to hear Grandpa's story. I think we got a 10-episode Netflix series with Grandpa there.
Yeah, of course.
Grandpa on the road with the Beamer. So the dad jokes around and flips Les the keys, and he's like, hey, you always said you wanted a BMW. Cue Mercedes pulling up in her Volkswagen.
Yeah, right.
And which I also find funny, because at the party, one of the weird things that they were doing at the party, it was Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, and their other friend there. And they were basically looking around the party at the different girls at the party and guessing what car they would lose their virginity in.
Oh yeah, yes.
And like one of the ugly girls, they're like, ah, Volkswagen convertible, and that's what he ends up in.
Yeah,
with the hot chick.
Irony, I guess.
I guess, or they just couldn't afford any more fucking cars. Yeah. they bought 9 Cadillacs for this movie.
Of course they did.
They bought 9 of those Cadillacs to fuck up in this movie. Yeah, and we roll out with a classic song that makes you think of this movie, and roll credits.
Thank God.
Little bit of trivia on the movie. For the role of Les Anderson, which ended up going to Corey Haim, I mentioned earlier that Corey Feldman did go out for that role, lost it to Corey Haim. Also, Ben Affleck went out for that role.
Oh, okay.
Would have been a wildly different movie. Also, at one time, John Hughes was offered to direct, and while he was considering it, he wanted to put, obviously, Anthony Michael Hall in the Les character and Molly Ringwald in the Mercedes character.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Wildly different movie.
Wildly different movie. Maybe better.
Maybe better? Do we still get Corey Feldman in there?
I would have put Haim as the friend.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that Haim is a better actor, and just like a, like, especially as like a child, he's just the basic all-American kid.
He's a much better actor.
He's a much better actor all the way around, but it's like Feldman is smarmy, and and he's just annoying most of the time.
Right.
You know, like his perfect role was Mouth from
the Goonies. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was perfect for him. Right. Everything else that I've found him in has been grating. Now, maybe it's also because my first like real introduction to him might have been The Surreal Life.
Wow.
On really? VH1.
Come on, you had to have seen.
Well, I saw the Goonies. So yeah. Maybe that's not 100% true, but
yeah.
But yeah. Fuck. Yeah,
I mean, he is that character, and he almost became, over the years, a caricature of himself in these roles, because he basically played the same character.
Right.
Which, I mean, it started with The Lost Boys and just kind of went on. He was that loudmouth kid.
Yeah.
With feathered hair. Yeah, I mean, think about it. What's the difference between the character in License to Drive and the character he plays in The Burbs?
And the character
he plays in Goonies.
And the character that they wanted him to play in Monster Squad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know,
Well, there was one other thing I wanted to you were talking about the ending and the drunk driver scene. Both of those, the ending with the grandfather and the drunk driving scene, were both added after test screenings didn't like the movie and they did reshoots.
Yeah.
So the ending probably was the car just being flattened with a freeze frame.
Yeah, and they didn't high five.
They didn't high five. That's why the audience was like, "Fuck this movie."
You know,
it's the 80s. We don't get a high five. We are out.
Yeah, the dad was bipolar. Like, it was bad.
Look, father of twins. He's gonna have some issues.
That was the funniest part. Was the girl, like, at one point when he's helping the mother like get down to the car because they're gonna take off in the car to go to the hospital. Yeah. It's like, so your one son is out gallivanting in a Cadillac. Your daughter is been arrested for terrorism. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to leave this other child in this house without telling him goodbye.
The 80s. Yeah, the 80s. It's the 80s, man. Nobody gave a shit, really.
Yeah.
On an episode of Larry King Live in 2010, it was the day of Corey Haim's death. Corey Feldman was on. Of course he was. Yeah. And he revealed, and it was also, I think it was mentioned actually in that documentary we talked about in the first half of the show, Corey Haim had wanted to develop a sequel called License to Fly that would have led into a trilogy, with the third installment being called License to Dive.
Okay.
Skydiving?
No, deep sea diving.
Deep sea diving?
Yeah, you gotta have a license to scuba dive.
Synchronized diving?
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. All right.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Yeah, cool. Guess that could have happened. They made a Lost Boys sequel.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, License to Drive?
That's License to Drive.
All right. Coming up next week, being that, you know, everything's shutting down, the world's ending, coronavirus is killing people. Escape from New York. We're going to do a hard reboot on this bitch and do Escape from New York, Snake Plissken. That one I can't wait for.
I can't wait. We've watched it.
This one we did because it was a necessity. Because this was consuming my life and I had to vent a little bit. And this is the forum that we do it on. Escape from New York, I am all in.
Yeah, of course.
All fucking in. Thank you for joining us on That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe. Hashtag That Movie Show. Recommend movies for us to review here on the show. You can find the archives at thatmovieshow.net. Subscribe on any podcasting app. And of course, like and follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv, where you can find all of these video formatted podcasts for you. All right. Good. Good.
We good.
We good. See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
That's Groovy Valley, Hooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot, Neil. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. And pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Chesterbrook Academy Preschool is ready to welcome your child into the classroom with a curriculum that challenges and inspires students, a daily routine that helps them thrive, plenty of time to play with friends, and most important, enhanced safety measures to keep everybody safe. Preschool is possible at Chesterbrook Academy. Contact us today to schedule an open house appointment on Saturday, January 23rd. Or schedule a virtual information session. Visit ChesterbrookAcademy.com to find a preschool near you.